In Testimonies to Ministers, we are told this over on page 119. The universe is looking upon the controversy that is going on upon this earth at an almost infinite cost. God has provided for every man an opportunity to know that which will make him wise unto salvation. How eagerly do angels look to see who will make himself available, avail himself of this opportunity. My friend, God wants you and I to be saved. He doesn't want us to be lost. Even the angels of heaven are eagerly looking, saying, oh, will this child, will he accept Jesus? Will he obey him? They don't want us to be lost. Let's work with God. Let's work with Christ. Let's work with the angels. The issue is clear. On which side will every man stand? On which side will you and I stand? Will we, through his enabling merit, seek to vindicate God and his rules for our lives? Or will we cravenly unite with the servants of Satan in declaring that for us, Christ's death was inadequate, his atonement useless, and heaven not worth striving for? Satan declared that human beings could not live without sin. Quoting, those who live the life of a Christian are battling against the devil's lie that man cannot keep God's law. Can we doubt the results of this conflict? Quoting, all who break God's commandments are sustaining Satan's claims that the law is unjust and cannot be obeyed. Thus they second the deceptions of the great adversary, and they cast dishonor upon God. We are now living in the very last days of the great controversy before Christ returns for his people. My friend, will you and I be found with the faithful? Will we be found with those who are loyal to the God of heaven, who in the strength of Christ are putting away their sins? Satan has cast his shadow athwart the pathway of every human being in order that he may misrepresent God to the world. He has clothed the character of God with attributes that are satanic and wholly at variance with the truth. He has pictured him as a being full of revenge, as a lawgiver whose law is beyond the power of man to keep, and he has implanted enmity in the heart of the sinner so that man unregenerated is in rebellion against God and his law. Now, this is the impression that Satan has made upon the human mind. And my friend, I want you to know it's an impression that he's pushing on you and me also constantly. But really now, will we by continuing in sin accept Satan's terrible lie that it is impossible for us to overcome sin? We dare not do it, my friend. We dare not do it. If those who hide and excuse their faults could see how Satan exalts over them, how he taunts Christ and holy angels with their course, they would haste to confess their sins and put them away. Through defects in the character, Satan works to gain control of the whole mind, and he knows that if these defects are cherished, he will succeed. Therefore, he is constantly seeking to deceive the followers of Christ with his fatal sophistry that it is impossible for them to overcome. Well, simple as that. Yes, it is dangerous to set aside the divine requirements, yet professed Christians, emboldened by their sins and their false teachings, are trying to do it every day. They spend a lifetime trying to find a reason to excuse them away. Men today, by employing errors such as original sin, are repeating the lie of Lucifer, basing their claims on the errors of Augustine and Calvin. They declare that it is impossible for a fallen man to keep God's law with or without the aid of Christ. They teach the error that man is hopelessly bound in sin until the second advent of Christ. But to voice such sentiments is to declare that the plan of redemption is inferior and Christ's sacrifice inadequate. Yet such a thought is blasphemy. In order to serve their sins, men are willing to cast disrepute on the character and the work of God. great controversy in chapter 29, beginning on 502, we are told that the penalty of the law fell upon the one who is equal with God, so that man could accept the righteousness of Christ and triumph as the Son of God. It triumphed over all the power of Satan. Oh, my friend, this is what we want. This was the way that God could be just, upholding the law while justifying all those who believed in Jesus enough to obey Him. Do you believe in Jesus enough to obey Him? The truth is that Christ died on the cross because the law could not be abolished or set aside, even temporarily. And then on the next page in Great Controversy 503, we are told that Christ did not merely come to earth to save man, but also to magnify the importance of God's law. Indeed, Christ did this to vindicate the law before all the universe. If the law could have been set aside, then Christ would not have had to die. The death of Christ proves the holy law of God cannot be changed. But more, not only was the law vindicated, but also the character of the Father and the Son was vindicated as well. It was shown that not only do they have the justice, but they also have the love and the mercy. Thank God. Praise your sweet Father in heaven and show your thankfulness by obeying Him. He's given you the power in Christ. In our own time, Christians and worldlings celebrate their excuses for setting aside God's laws. They rejoice that they can sin with apparent impunity. But the clock of probationary time is ticking away. The day is coming when there will be a terrible awakening. Quoting, "It is Satan's constant effort to misrepresent the character of God, the nature of sin, and the real issues at stake in the great controversy. His sophistry lessens the obligation of the divine law and gives men license to sin." Quoting, "The great controversy between truth and error, between Christ and Satan, is to increase in intensity to the close of this world's history." Now, where will you and I stand in all of this? The controversy is being fought over the law of God. That controversy is really being fought over the character of God. On the other side of the coin, it is fought over whether it is all right to sin. But sin always brings terrible results. We know that. And through Calvary, God has proved that sin need not be indulged, and He has provided power by which it may be resisted. In the final execution of the judgment, it will be seen that no cause for sin exists. When the judge of all the earth shall demand of Satan, "Why hast thou rebelled against me and robbed me of the subjects of my kingdom?" the originator of evil can render no excuse. In that day every mouth will be stopped and all the hosts of rebellion will be speechless. For the cross of Christ, while it declares the law immutable, proclaims to all the universe that the wages of sin is death. Now let us go to part 5, the controversy and the judgment.